so you can get into your bikini, I guess. That's why they call it South Beach. There's the gluten-free diet, which is actually another form of glutton-free. You didn't know that? I'm sorry? Glutton-free, yeah, that's what they just spelled it wrong. Do you know the word glutton, not glutton, gluten comes from glue, and it's the stuff that glues the bread together, so when you have gluten-free bread, it doesn't glue together, so I don't understand that, but it's there. Atkins diet, yes? Mm-hmm. And some of you are doing the Daniel diet. We used to do the Daniel fast. That's a little different than the Daniel diet, of course. And then, of course, some of you are on the ketogenic diet. Did I say that right? I practice the ketogenic diet. But all of you would agree, if you're on diets, that if you do diets, they last about 2 weeks, maybe if you're lucky, 3 weeks, then you break them at some point, because you need to go 30 to 60 days to undo a bad habit, another 30 to 60 days to do a habit. So these are not just diets, that you're just kind of a faddish thing. You need to turn them from diets to a lifestyle. And a lot of you have already talked about that with me privately, that this is just a lifestyle. I eat this way as a lifestyle. It's just something I've chosen. Did you just need a blessing there? Who needs a blessing? Oh, it was you, but you need a blessing, so I give you a blessing there. You are blessed. And the reality is that you enter into these attitudes of diets as a lifestyle, then stuff starts to happen. A TV show, I don't remember what it was, one of the morning magazine shows, that I don't know their names anymore, but they did a comparison of the various diets, and they discovered that it doesn't matter what diet you're on as long as you include exercise and plenty of water and food. That was good. Yeah, you watch your portions, wouldn't matter what diet it is, and you exercise and you drink a lot of water. And all four diets had success. And they even had treadmills to show it. But the idea was not just to go into this massive transition of a diet for 5 to 6 weeks, and boy, you did good and you look good, you know. No, it's a lifestyle. And that's why we're talking about a wisdom diet. Diet needs to be a lifestyle, needs to be transformed into a lifestyle. And I want to talk about a little young boy who lost his first tooth, and he put it under his pillow, right? And what did he find?
Money.
Yeah, what kind of money? Probably a quarter. It's probably a quarter. He found this quarter. Oh, cool. So he started pulling out his teeth. No. So then a couple weeks later, he lost another tooth and put it under his pillow, and guess what showed up? Another quarter. Yeah, it was really beautiful. So a couple weeks later, he lost his third tooth, and he pulled it out. And it got pulled out, actually, and he put it in a little note, and he said, Fairy Godmother, Tooth Fairy, rather, not Fairy Godmother, Tooth Fairy, could you please give me a dollar? I really need the money. And then he folded it up and put it underneath. I don't know if he got the dollar or not, but the point is, the Tooth Fairy was giving him a quarter for free, right? To kind of encourage him through his pain, and now he got a little greedy. Yeah, like, let's up this. And nowadays, I don't know what do you guys give for teeth now? What do you give? Oh, you haven't had teeth yet, right?
Four.
He's four. Not yet. Okay, so what'd you guys give? You gave a dollar per tooth.
Inflation.
Ooh, Susan B., right? Or something like that. Yeah, all right. So, see, that one, yes, that guy. That woman, I know. But you get what I'm saying is that suddenly wow, a number of years back when I was in campus ministry, a friend of mine did an experiment. He went to a cul-de-sac and he gave everybody a $10 bill every week. He'd go on Saturday mornings, he'd show up and he'd hand them a $10 bill in these seven houses in this corner of the cul-de-sac. And it was really cool. You know, oh, wow, thank you. And he kept doing it. And one time, and this was planned, he went up and skipped a house. And the guy comes running up. Where's my $10? Where'd that come from? It wasn't his $10. And he stopped and said, I was giving you a gift. It's nothing, I don't owe you, it's my money. But again, that's how our mindset starts to think. And all of a sudden you owe me, and then the greed starts to set in. And we've got to be really careful. We've got to be careful with our fairy tooth and our fairy godmothers and all these other tooth fairies and whatever else we've got to be careful about. Because there's these seven deadly sins we have to worry about. Now, I only have six here because I think the seventh one is combined all these. But you have the lust and the gluttony and the greed and the sloth and the rage or anger, just as uncontrollable anger. You know, we joke about being Italian. It's the Italian or the Irish or the German. You know, everybody's a temper at some point. Every culture does. And the last one, of course, is envy. Envy is wanting something that is not rightfully yours. Jealousy is yearning for something that is rightfully yours. Envy is wanting something somebody else has that is not yours. But they all combine to that seventh one. What does anybody know?
Pride.
Pride. Yeah, rage would be the wrath. Depends which translation you use. The seven deadly sins. So when we're talking about wisdom diet, it has to become a wisdom lifestyle, not just wisdom on a diet. It's just for a short period of time or temporary. It has to be a permanent opportunity, a lifestyle of using your wisdom. So I want to encourage you as we address these appetites this morning and we guard our appetites, we have to avoid these temptations. So princes and princesses, the truly wise monitor their appetites. The truly wise monitor their appetites. Bless you. We have all different types of appetites. And they range in those, they all can be combined, I think, under pride, because you think you have to provide for yourself, so you lust after something, you envy something. You're angry because it's your right to be angry, it's proudful. And you go on with all the rest of the seven. Sloth, you don't have to work anymore because it's somebody else needs to pay you, or entitlement, etc. We're going to look at these six individually, and it's found in the Proverbs chapter 23, which I found fascinating. As I looked at this Proverbs, ooh. And some are a little interesting, but they're all the same under these six deadly sins. The first one's food, the dangers of gluttony. Not many people talk about it because it is an epidemic. It is embarrassing. I weigh roughly 203 pounds. And it's embarrassing because I'm 5'9", and roughly, depends on how much my leg gives me taller or not, but I'm considered obese. And when I saw that on my medical chart, it devastated me. I looked at that and I'm going, I'm not obese. I still have muscles in my arms. You know, and every time I see this on my chart, I go to the doctor, probably I quit going. But we have these definitions of obese. You have obese, there's another word before the morbidly obese, there's one in between. But we have a cultural problem here. Now, I cheated a couple of weeks ago. We took our grandson and granddaughter Gracie stayed somewhere else, but the Claire and Preston went with us to a JUCO baseball game. And we got to the third inning, which was good. I mean, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And so, Grandpa, when are we going to go? I missed the second inning. So at least let's just watch one more inning. We'll get there. So they were really hungry. By now, it's around noon. What time was it?
It was
afternoon?
30 when we left.
Oh, right. It was because we were hoping that McDonald's was open, yeah. Now, I've boycotted McDonald's for 25 years, okay? And since I've had grandkids, I've gone three times now, and I'm embarrassed, so I confess that. But, so I've been watching my weight, you know, because we're going on this trip in Cancun. I want to look kind of svelte with my bathing. Not at all. I was not thinking it at all. But I was just kind of watching what I'm eating. And I had a shake in the morning and a shake in the evening, but I had McDonald's. I had a quarter pounder and fries. I gained 2 pounds, okay? I went from 199 to 201 in one day because I was down 199 at one point. And so I only gained 5 pounds when I went to Cancun, which is pretty good, and it's an all-you-can-eat thing. But you know what it's saying? Yeah, gluttony's there. And so let's look at that verse in here. Just look at the gluttony. Beware of those who are generous. Beware of generous people, verses 1, 2, and 3. When you sit down to dine with a ruler, somebody in a host, if you will, note well what is before you and put a knife to your throat. That's a literal translation. If you are given to gluttony, do not crave his delicacies, for that food is deceptive. It's deceptive. So wow, you know you're going to become addicted to it, and they put stuff in McDonald's foods that make you want more. I believe that's the sole purpose of high fructose corn syrup, is to make you yearn for more. I've cut that out of my diet as much as I can. When I went on my sugar diet, do you know what has sugar? Pretty much everything that's processed. You know, oh my goodness. So I can make homemade bread now and I do fine, but if I eat store-bought bread, forget it. You know, it's just amazing the difference that happens. And so we got to be real careful with our food because they're very generous. Here, have more. And when we went to Cancun, everything was paid for. Kathy won this trip, you know, so that we could have 4 desserts. I think I told that last week, you know. We could, and one couple did. I was watching them. You know, they said, hey, bring another one. You know, they tried all the desserts. And oh, my goodness. But what does the scripture say? Yeah, beware. Put a knife to your throat because, my goodness, you could go hog wild, literally. Now, I did have filet mignon and lobster. I confess that. I did have that, okay? And it was a big one, not the petite ones, okay? And it was really cool how they served us. They served us in, what do you call it, courses, right? So you had at least 10, 15 minutes between each course. So give your body a chance to digest and stuff like that. It was real fun. But my point was I could just eat. Oh, I could just eat. And was I hungry? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I had to practice pushaways. Uh-huh. Yeah. Push the waitress away. quit tempting me. It was a waiter, actually. And then beware of stingy people. Because the stingy people are going to want more. So look at verses 6, 7, and 8. Do not eat the food of a stingy man. Do not crave his delicacies. For he is the kind of man who is always thinking about the cost. Eat and drink, he says, but his heart is not with you. You will vomit up what little you have eaten, and you will have wasted your compliments. This is really interesting because the word there, where is it at there? The stingy man, I got to get this here. I saved this for this very moment. This better work. Okay. Is it going to stick there? Is it sticking?
Yeah.
That's the evil eye. The word for stingy person is the evil eye. And you'll kind of, and you got to do that to get rid of it if you're doing Yiddish. So he's giving you the evil eye. He's looking at you and he's watching you eat every portion that you take. He's observing you. How many French fries did you take? How many helpings did you have? That's the stingy man. He's giving you the evil eye. Not that we do this during potlucks. How many times have you gone? This happened at the finale. Rebecca, the young lady that kind of came for observation for us, and myself were the last two, and there were three hot dogs left. And I was wondering if anybody went back for seconds before I got my first. But it was good because I was planning to eat only one hot dog. Because how many hot dogs are you supposed to have? Two. No, you're supposed to eat two. Always supersize, right? You got to have more than one, right? You got to get the larger drink, right? Got to do this, right? But the stingy man or the gracious man, got to watch out for. In both places, it kind of says put a knife to your throat. It doesn't say that because you're going to vomit. So it's like put a finger down your throat at this point. But you got the idea of being careful with your food intake, because it is one of the seven deadly sins. And we don't talk about it much in our culture, do we? Monitor your appetites in the area of money and land. This is the dangers of greed. Verses 4 and 5 and 10 and 11. Verses 4 and 5, do not wear yourself out to get rich. Have the wisdom to show restraint. Cast but a glance at riches and they are gone. Like a light. For they surely sprout wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle. This is taken from an Egyptian proverb, I understand. Verses 10 and 11. Do not move an ancient boundary stone or encroach on the fields of the fatherless. For the defender, the Goel, the Redeemer, Goel, actually, is strong. He will take up their case against you. We have that situation in our neighborhood right now. It's fascinating. The neighbor behind me is a farm field, and I have I think I have 4 inches beyond my fence. But my neighbor to the north of me has 2 feet. And when I was first told this, I went down right away and got my permit. I'm going to take my 2 feet back. And it was only 2 inches. But you can see this because the guy that's on the E and a half roadside, face side, he added his fence, and there's this big gap from the fence that he has to the fence that he just put in because in the old days, they moved the marker, and the pin's right there. And it just go, wow, don't move that. And notice it says specifically to what type of people? The fatherless. Don't take advantage of those people, because the Father in heaven's going to take advantage, to defend them. Okay, so be careful with this greed of money and land. And if, man, you work 120 hours a week and you're bringing all these bucks in, and yeah, but you get a chance to spend it? No. Worse yet, your family doesn't see you. We don't want to talk about that, right? But this is the dangers of greed. Now, capitalism is based on profit motive, and without moral code, it becomes greed. We have to admit that. That was what the 1890s were all about, and the robber barons and all that. But the fact remains that capitalism is still way better than that other thing. Right?
Amen.
Yeah. Socialism takes from you what you've hard worked and earned. But capitalism, if it gets out of control, profit motive then turns into greed motive. Right? In 1987, the crash during Reagan's administration, greed rules Wall Street was the front page Denver Post headline. Yeah, when you have no morals And there's been major work, and we saw this in one of our special hits last summer, where they had these debates with people, and they're trying to bring ethics back in the business colleges at Harvard and Yale. Did you hear what I said? Bring it back. Because there's no ethics. It's I, me, mine world. It's okay as long as it knows it, knows what to do. Yeah, and the one thing that made me not be a lawyer was this. You know, the purpose of a lawyer was to do truth and justice, right? Oh, no. You're to get your client off. And whatever you can do, whatever you can lie, cheat, when they put their hand on the Bible and swear, they don't care because there's no Bible there. And they don't have no God, so they just swear. I swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me myself. You know, and people lie. And ooh, perjury. Ooh. You know, no, they don't care. So watch out for money and greed. Now, can poor people be greedy too? Have any of you ever been to the senior Beacon, the Beacon Fest? Okay, I've been there 3 or 5 times now, and it's fun to watch these people come through, and they're just as poor as dirt. And what do they do at every table?
Take everything they can get.
Yes.
And they will fill 2 bags if they want.
Yes, I watched one woman start taking stuff that the person, hey, wait, give me that back, that's mine. I've watched this happen. So poor people can be greedy too. Right. They don't have to be rich to be greedy.
Yeah.
What? And they're worth a lot of money. Yes, $2. No, I'm joking. Street value. Okay? But we got to be careful. We got to be careful. Monitor appetites, avoiding greed. Monitor appetites with distractions. This is dangers of sloth. Just overwhelmed with 9, 13, and 14, verse 9. Turn the page. Thank you. Do not speak to a fool, for he will scorn the wisdom of your words. 13 and 14, do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish him, he will with the rod, he will not die. Punish him with the rod and save his soul from death. And, you know, what do these got to do with distractions? Well, a lot of people don't discipline their kids, and when they discipline their kids, they don't do anything. Have you noticed that? Yes, then they become a distraction. That's good. What was really fun for me, I was kind of telling the VBS staff, up until last year and this year, but definitely this year's, we used to have more kids than adults helping. And from 1995, when I was youth pastor, up until the present time, I ran almost every VBS activity with youth or college people. I had very few adults, because they're all either working moms or dads, or they just didn't want to help. And now I'm looking around, look at all these adults. Cool. And what was even cooler, it went well. Yeah, nothing against young people. But we had some quality young people, is where I'm going with this. We had some really quality young people. They stepped up and they helped. And I predicted if everybody helps clean up, we'll get done by 2. We got done at 2:10 because not everybody helped. But, okay, because four kids left. Wait, we need you guys. Okay, one was 6. So, but you get the idea. They're very responsible young people. And we got set up last week. People were marveling that we got set up last week the way you guys did. Y'all stepped up and you helped set up. And we got the stuff up. And boom, we got it taken down. And I learned years ago, even as an associate, I was never associate functionally, I guess was, but if we don't clean up right away, it's 6 months later. The stuff is still up. So we get, boom, we're right now. So you walk in, well, nothing happened this week. Oh, no, you saw what happened in the slideshow, but we cleaned up right away because if we didn't, it'd still be there. Okay? But the idea is you get some responsible people, but you're not disciplining people, they're sloth. And that gets really sad in the first one, verse 9. They'll scorn your words. They won't do anything about it. They'll just sit there. You try to encourage a slothful person, and they're just going to sit there. Now, these aren't directly related to sloth. They're directly related to fools. But underneath it is the distractions. All these distractions of life. It just breaks my heart. This next one's really challenging. Dangers of envy. Knowledge. Knowledge. Dangers of envy. Now look at these and see how they can make somebody envious. Apply your heart to wisdom and your ears to words of knowledge. Okay, so you get a lot of knowledge now. I know a lot of stuff. I'm pretty wise, verse 15 and 19. My son, if your heart is wise, then my heart will be glad. My innermost being will rejoice when your lips speak with what is right. It gives joy to parents. But notice verse 17. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but always be jealous for the fear of the Lord. Now, my translation has jealous for the fear of the Lord, but always be in the fear of the Lord, is what the Hebrew says. There is surely a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. Listen, my son, and be wise. Keep your heart on the right path. So these are things to wisdom, but you start teaching people, and you start to envy those wicked. You envy the lawless. You envy people because they get away with it. Or the other side, you get all this knowledge. Ooh, I'm pretty smart here. Verse 22 and 25. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Oh, I remember my mother was 4'11". She says, "You're never too tall for me to hit you." Yeah, that's why I learned Madonna Mia. Madonna Mia. Okay, that's enough Italian for today. Buy truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom, discipline, and understanding. The father of a righteous man has great joy. He is a wise son, delights in him. May your father and mother be glad, and may she who gave you birth rejoice. These are all cool words of woohoo, basically words. Okay? Because you're not envious of knowledge. You're not puffed up with knowledge. It's 1 Corinthians 8:1. You're not puffed up. Look at how much I know. I know so much. I don't need you guys. And then you start getting envious of other people who are stupid because you want to be stupid again. Not. You're arrogant and proud. You see how that fits in there? So when you get a lot of knowledge, you envy people that want more knowledge and more knowledge. And somehow knowledge becomes an end in itself, not knowledge of the Lord, but just knowledge for your own intelligence. And you want to wow people how smart you are. Not that I've ever done that. By the way, you want to monitor your appetites concerning lust or sex. Now, I know we live in a very prudish culture. You can watch a lot of TV commercials and they'll never show any skin. They're wearing burkas and it's very, you know. I was watching a TV show the other day, and it was at 7 o'clock in the evening, and they had some, it was a TV show, wasn't it? I don't know what I was watching now. But oh my goodness, I turned the station right away. It's just, kids are watching at all times, and they don't care anymore, and they're trying to violate the innocence of our children. But we ourselves need to be careful about pornography and lust and sex. 26 to 28, my son, give me your heart, because that's where the heart goes, right? And let your eyes keep to my ways. Don't let your eyes wander. For a prostitute is a deep pit, that's a triple entendre, and a wayward wife is a narrow well. Like a bandit, she lies in wait and multiplies the unfaithful among men. Now, we had a whole chapter on this earlier, and I'm fascinated that in all the Proverbs, it keeps coming back to this. Now, I don't know if any of you are in the CIA or any FBI stuff or any secretive things of that nature, but if you do know the spy craft, one of the ways to compromise somebody is what? Prostitution. And what?
The compliment.
Oh, compliment. Yeah, you get the nice. Now, we came in late in Cancun, right? And we came into our resort, and they had to do all this stuff. They escorted us in this dark road, and we thought we were being captured and brought into the jungle. That's not a story. But we get there finally, and there's this huge lobby, and we walk into the lobby, and there's all these people awake at 11:30. What was it?
It was 10:30,
okay. 10:30 at night, and we're getting there, and Kathy and I sit down here, and I watch, I'm just looking around, and we're talking to this guy, and he's trying to fill out some forms and stuff, and these two ladies kind of walk by like this, and then they sit down next to us over here, and they keep looking over at us, and I'm smiling, just hi, and then finally realize who they were. And it was night, and they were ladies. So, you get the idea, and I'm going, oh my goodness, and of course, I'm with my wife. It's like, you know, wow. They didn't care. They were brazen. Brazen. Now, fortunately, they were anything that I was attracted to, but the point is, it's out there. And what I am attracted to, I got to be careful. Oh, yeah, we were talking about this. The men and I were talking about this. There were some ladies wearing some really revealing bathing suits, and I said, I just look away. It looks funny. That's one reason we didn't go to the beach much. You know, I just kind of look away. You know, I kind of, sometimes obviously, sometimes not so obvious. But the point is, we got to be careful. You know, men are wired to see skin. That's how it's wired. That's how the Lord does. And women start revealing it, and you just happen to look. But it's the glance or the gaze you got to deal with. You got to deal with it. And if you're glancing, that's just normal. But if you're gazing, that's not normal. That's sin. And you got to be careful with that. Now, I'm going to read you an extended passage, and I felt led of the Lord to do this. We will be back in Proverbs, so keep a bookmarker here. But I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. First Corinthians chapter 6. I realize I'm going to be on the internet, so pray for me, because I want to read what's here. I do believe this is the Word of God. This was inspired. It's God-breathed. This is the Lord God through the Lord Jesus Christ and His church, to the Holy Spirit through Paul, the apostle. It tells us to the church at Corinth. The church at Corinth was like our Las Vegas of the day, where and some other cities now all over the world, where there's, you know, gambling and prostitution and sex and everything else is prolific. And then he says this to the church at Corinth. He says this in verse 9 of chapter 6. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, the idolaters, the adulterers, the male prostitutes, the homosexual offenders, nor the thieves, nor the greedy, nor the drunkards, nor the slanderers, nor the swindlers, that's con artists, will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what you once were. Some of you were, past tense. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified, you were in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Verse 12, everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. I'll talk about this later in the addictions. Food for the stomach and the stomach is for food, but God will destroy them both. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Verse 14, by the power of God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. But do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I not take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that what he unites himself with the prostitute becomes one with her in body? That's spiritual soul ties. For it is said, the two shall become one flesh. Verse 17, but he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Verse 18, flee, say that with me, flee from sexual immorality. All other sins man commits are outside his body. But he who sins sexually sins against his own body. That's a both and, that's spiritual and physical. So you get the STIs, they call them now. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Hello. Who is in you, whom you have received from God. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. I've talked to a lot of people lately over the last couple of weeks. And as many of you, I won't say it all deep, but anyway, I've been familiar with homosexuality, okay? And I understand the temptation, but it's a temptation. And you do not have to cross the line. And we have to understand that. People get confused. And they go, wow, this feels good, and this is enticing, and it's heightened because it's illicit, or it's under the carpet, or whatever. Now they're coming out of the closet, and they said, I was never in the closet. I was reading an article yesterday about this. I was never in the closet. They're becoming brazen. This month is Pride Month, and we needed to have a Pride Month, and I want to say to people who are hearing me, not only here, but on the internet, that you may be tempted to homosexually act on things, but you don't have to give in to the temptation. It's the same as being tempted to be an adulterer or a swindler or a con artist or whatever sin is out there. It's the same temptation. You don't have to give in to it. It's just that simple. And Jesus is the way out. Excellent. Yes. And so you have the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to say no. And we'll talk a little bit more about this. We talk about addictions. And you can read Ephesians 5:18. We'll talk about that later in the drunkenness. But do not be drunk with wine, but be controlled by the Spirit. Okay? All the points point to Jesus. Every message I preach is basically saying, what are you going to yield to the Lord Jesus Christ today? If you're not a Christian, you yield your life. If you are a Christian, you yield your life. It's a particular component or part of your life. That's what it's all about. And as Amy reminded us, he's the power to live the point. If you try to live these in your own strength, you become what I call a behavioral Christian and done work. And you're going to say, I tried that. In your own strength, you tried it. You tried God. God doesn't work, but Jesus does work. So, building families is Jesus' point number one. The home is the best training place for this. Do not buy the supersized lie. I'm sorry, did I say that too loud? Now, some people have larger appetites and are larger framed. That's understandable, but I'm talking about gluttony. Myself, the Lord's provided me with a mechanism where I have a hard time swallowing anyway, and I have a hiatal hernia, which puts one part of my stomach atop of the other. And so I have to eat smaller portions anyway. And I love bread, as you guys know, and I can't eat right. So I have to eat smaller portions, but do I always? Nope. And if you watch, my stomach grows 2 to 3 inches. It goes back down by morning, but it just, because everything's stuffed up on top of the stomach. And it just gets, and it hurts now. It's starting to hurt real badly. My point is, we all have to do it, no matter what size we are, to watch our portions. And we've bought the double size lie. When I started boycotting McDonald's in 1995, I was a janitor here and I was helping outside. And I went there and I ordered a medium. And it was as large as a large I'd ever seen. And that was the last time, you know me, wasting food, I don't want to waste food. So I bought this thing and that was the last time I had it at McDonald's till 3 years ago. So from 1995 to what, 2016? I wouldn't go to McDonald's. And matter of fact, I eat mostly Chinese food, and that's just my personal lifestyle. I drink just mostly water. But I have to confess publicly, I did have 2 Sprites in Cancun. They were watered down, so I was very grateful for that. But when I go to my next meeting, I have to... But it was 2.5 years I hadn't had a pop. 2.5 years. That's ego probably, but it was just you know, the tingles that goes on your throat and the sluggish thinking afterwards. Yeah, I enjoyed that. Anyway, but we got the supersize, and I was there, you know. Just the other day, I bought a cheeseburger and when I broke my fast, because we stopped there, I had a cheeseburger and a cheese thing, the chicken, the fillet, the fish fillet. How many have seen the movie Supersize Me? Yeah, and it was the French fries, not the burger bun. They put all the different kind of things, and this guy gained so much weight in 2 weeks, his blood pressure went shot, and it was just all this kind of stuff. He looked horrible, et cetera, because he was only eating McDonald's food. But he put in this glass jar, he put a bag of medium French fries in there, and he put French fries from a local restaurant. In 8 weeks, almost everything else was moldy and appetizing, except the French fries from McDonald's. They were pristine from the day they were bought. What would your stomach acids do with that? Good question, huh? So, some of us have medical needs. I've had to do enzymes. I've been there. Some have thyroid issues. Some have other issues, but because you have to eat food with your meals. I understand that. But friends, we've got to be a lot more available to watching our not being sucked into this culture. And just as another side note, on this side this time, When I teach kids, I can tell who are eating a lot of fast food or not. You know, there are hormones in that meat, guys, and these young ladies are shaping sooner. They're getting breast buds at 10 and 11, and they're starting to shape by 12 and 13. Is that a plan by our culture? I don't want to get conspiratorial on anybody, but I do want to tell you this: eating out a lot is not doing anybody health food. My chiropractor shared with me a study he had done. He had microwaved water, and he took 2 plants, they're pepper plants, and they were supposed to be red peppers, and he put one in, water, regular water, filtered water, one with tap water, and one with microwave water. The microwave water matured faster and changed colors. It was no longer a red, it was purple. It was a beautiful purple, but it was almost like a periwinkle. But it was just amazing, but it started to realize microwave food often may make you age faster. Interesting theory. Interesting question. But I guess what I microwave food, so I got to be careful here. But you see what our culture's doing to this, and you buy anything with processed foods or something, you're getting all those preservatives. You're being pre-mummified. So you got to be real careful with fast foods. Now, am I against the fast food industry? No, I once in a while I eat there, you know, because it's fast and it's convenient. But I can, for $7, I can get a Chinese meal in 5 minutes. So, yeah. With no GM, whatever that stuff is.
MSG.
I knew the letters in the wrong order. Pursuing the Lord Jesus Christ. Point number 2. Avoid or monitor controlling substances. Okay? Avoid or monitor controlling substances. Now, I did not say controlled substances. Drink to excess is definitely wrong. Drinking anything to excess is wrong. Be it pop, well, you can be bloated in water too. But it's wrong, okay? Yeah, you can be waterlogged, and you can get all that fun stuff there, and you can get out of balance with shooting ketones or whatever they call it. So are controlling substances. My wife reminded me. I'll read you some of these passages in a second here. Now, when I last preached, I preached this a lot, this passage actually, over the years. And when I was in Denver, I preached against alcohol. I did not preach against alcohol. I preached against caffeine drinking. I preached against watching soap operas. And I preached against drinking pop. After the service, one of the elders or deacons came up to me and said, "Mike, when are you going to start preaching against sin?" I said, "Excuse me?" He said, "Yeah, when are you going to start preaching against sin?" I said, "I just did. I preached against all this." "No, no, no. Alcohol and sex and playing cards and all this kind of stuff." You can tell what kind of church it was. I said, "I was preaching." Now, today, if I said, quit watching soap operas, you'd go, "Huh? Who watches soap operas here? Ah." But is NCIS a soap opera? I'll ask you that. Okay. All right. And the continuing saga of Tony DiNozzo, you know. Okay. By the way, did you hear what happened? I'm joking. But but you get what I'm saying is, and of course, you're addicted to caffeine. Let's face it. Take it off and get a headache, right? Just miss one caffeine mint. You know, mainline this puppy, man. Get it in there, snigger snap it, you know, bring your own little band with you. But are you in control or is it in control? That's why I call it controlling substances. Now, there are controlled substances, and they're taking THC out of the cannabis, okay? So is it okay to have CBD, as it's called now, right? Is that okay?
Yes.
CBD. Is that okay?
Yes.
It depends, you know. But if it's got the THC in it, that's the addicting thing in it. Okay, so I'm leaving it up to you guys, but I'll guarantee you smoking marijuana is not good. It's controlling you. And if it's controlled, whatever's controlling you, you have to have this. You have to go outside to get your fresh air break. Yeah, and you suck in that long tube, you know, and suck the fresh air in. That's from I used to tell my parents that, so you can bear with me. Okay, you're addicted to it on one level or the other. It's either a hand-to-mouth addiction or it's a physical, biological addiction. And yes, ask Lord Jesus Christ to get rid of it. Amen?
Amen.
So, again, I already read to you Corinthians 6, 12 through following. First, Ephesians 5, 17, do not be drunk with wine. It's also 18, which leads to debauchery, but be controlled by the Spirit. The verse you guys probably don't know about, though, is 2 Peter. So let's go to 2 Peter. And we did read it in Corinthians 2, but it's also in 2 Peter 2:19. I was looking for this verse for like 10 years. And it's funny when you change trans, even the NIV's changed since when I first memorized it in 1974. And I had several passages and books memorized. And it's like, where is this? And I found it. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. I'll read you the context. They're talking about the bad guys in the church that are demonic and evil. These men are springs without water, mists driven by storms. Black darkness is reserved for them. Verse 18, for they mouth empty, boastful words, and by appealing to the lustful desires of sinful human nature, they entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error. He's talking about Christian preachers in the church, but they're infiltrators, okay? They're undercover evil people. Verse 19, they promise them freedom while they themselves are slaves to depravity. For man is a slave to whatever has mastered him. If they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we talked about that in Sunday school, about Lord and Savior first, and are again entangled and overcome, they are worse off than at the end than they were at the beginning. And some of their hard teaching is a dog returns to his vomit. But I want to go back to that. Whatever masters him, they are whatever slave to his master. And frankly, I have to be careful, you know. I do watch some TV. I watch myself. I monitor Facebook 20 minutes, and I'm doing it two or three times a week now instead of every day. And I put an alarm on, because if I don't, that 20 minutes turns into, easily an hour, hour and a half, easily. And I want to catch up with everybody. You know, and you feel like you're off, and these poor kids are on their phones like someone is right now, and they're on their phones, and they're looking, and I got to check my Facebook, I got to check my Pinterest, I got to check my because they're addicted to it. It's in control. Take it away, and what do? They go through withdrawals. That's what the temper tantrum is. They're detoxing. Okay? And I want to make fun of it on one hand, but I want to get serious on another. When I go on this trip in July, I'm debating, you know, when I go to I'm going on a retreat in the first couple days. Do I take my devices with me?
No.
It's interesting temptation, isn't it? I've got 5,000 books on my iPad. I could do reading. I also have the cloud on it, too. You see what I'm saying? So I'm just as tempted. But I got to have some discipline until Lord Jesus Christ be formed in me. So I put those aside. And when I did my free church ordination, I mentioned controlling substances, and they asked, the board asked, or the council asked, do you mean controlled substances? No. I mean controlling substances, because it goes way outside of just cocaine and all this that's controlled. Because there's stuff that's, I call it the legal white powder. What is that? Sugar. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And what? Yeah, and that stuff, that's what it was produced for, right? And now they're trying to get away from that because they find that there's a big move to, you know, stay healthy. But you will find, just to stop the, you know, you can only do so much sugar, but don't add any sugar. But whatever's controlling you, give it to the Lord Jesus. Because, and we could talk about this later because I do warfare stuff. But if it gets past that point of you're being able to control it, something else is in control. And it's not you. And theologically speaking, is you had a free will and you became a slave to sin. Okay, you can be a slave to righteousness or slave to sin, and you chose in that area of your life to become a slave to sin. And that can only be taken out by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not God, not Jesus, not Lord Jesus. And I'm talking as a former person, used to be one of them, because we laugh at that stuff. We giggle at the Exorcist movie where they throw holy water on them. Oh, I'm burning. You know, it's a big joke. Or show the cross or the crucifix. It's a big game. It's all a decoy. That's where I was going for earlier. It's a decoy. But the real thing's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if they're inhabited, if they're infected, if they're activated, they can't say that. And I've had people, drunks can say that. I've done street ministry and they cannot. I've had Christians who cannot say that because they need to be delivered. Now, there's two types of deliverance. There's confessional deliverance, is what I teach. And there's confrontational deliverance. I've done it once in this room over here, but other than that, I don't do it a lot. Confrontational deliverance is Mark chapter 5, where Jesus, you have to say, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, come out of him. Okay? That's confrontational deliverance. That only works when the host is so activated and so bound that they can't speak. The body is running to Jesus, telling them, I want to be free, but the voice is saying, get out of here, because it's not his voice. It's the demons in them, okay? So that's confrontational deliverance, okay? I think it's chapter 19, where the sons of Sceva tried to deliver some people. They didn't know Jesus. So it gets worse. But there's confessional deliverance where you confess your sins. You say, Lord Jesus Christ, I confess these sins. The demons now have no control over it anymore, and they have to go. Resist the devil, and he will what? And if you read that whole context, it says repent right before it. So you're confessing your sins, you're repenting, and then the devil no longer has a foothold on you. That's Ephesians chapter 4, I think it's verse 27. He has no foothold in you, then the demons must flee. So if you have an issue that you cannot control, you're pulled by it, it's something well beyond the flesh because you've given over a slave to sin instead of a slave to righteousness. That's Romans chapter 6. Do not offer your members to unrighteousness, but to righteousness. I've never preached this. I've done this privately, but I've never preached this, and I've been literally anxious about this because this could open a can of worms because it usually gets worse before it gets better. Because if you try this and it doesn't work, it's because you didn't say it right and you need someone to sit with you. I've had people in my office here say, by the blood of Lord Jesus Christ, I ask this, and they're mumbling, and they don't even know they're mumbling. One woman, her voice changed. She starts to pray, and she goes, oh, I pray by the blood of the Lord. She has baby voice. I say, excuse me, stop. She says, what? Do you normally pray like that? Well, sometimes, yeah. Can you humor me and just, let's ask Lord Jesus Christ if that's from God or not. So we prayed, and guess what went away? The baby voice went away. It was demons. And so you got to realize that. You go, oh my goodness. So sometimes you need a partner to pray with you so that you're doing it. Now, I have a book called The Risen Warrior's Way. I do not give out. Some of you already went through it with me, but I disciple people because you need some of the gift of discernment to help with this, because it could be just the flesh, it could be biological, or it could be emotional, or it could be spiritual. And that's the way the prayers are. So I'm giving you this lead-in, and I know we're way past my allotted time, and I'm going to skip my alligator illustration here. So, but by the way, a python did eat the alligator, and the alligator kicked the stomach out of the python, and so you got to be careful what you consume or it can kill you. That's the point of that little picture. So I thought I'd fill that in for you there. So you can fill in those words there. It's a true story. I actually had a video, but it's too gruesome. And I knew Sammy was going to be here, so I didn't want to get her grossed out. So. Simple prayers, okay? Real simple prayers. I'm going to walk through this with you first. Heavenly Father, now, another side note, and I tried to warn Neil Anderson this too when he wrote his book, The Bondage Breaker. You can't just say Father, because Satanists pray to Father, okay? They rape the Lord's Prayer. They say, Our Father who art in hell, unholy is your name. And they go on and say more stuff like this. You've got to be real careful, and that's why in my books, and in his book, he finally got in a second edition, you say, Heavenly Father, okay? And then it goes on to say, the shed blood of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, through his power. He's the deliverer. He's the Goel. He's the redeemer. Amen? Okay. Through his power, I confess I'm being controlled by, what is it? Pornography, television, caffeine, whatever it is. Put it in the blank there. I'm going to go back and do these, so we'll be back. I confess that I want nothing more to do with it. That's a very critical phrase. Do you want something more to do with it? Are your fingers crossed behind your back? I want nothing more to do with this. Till the next time. Okay? Lord Jesus Christ, not God, not Jesus, but Lord Jesus Christ, by your shed blood, I ask you to remove what is controlling me in this area of my life. Lord Jesus Christ, I yield to your full control, yield to you, to your full control of this area of my life. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for freeing me to do this. This is a very truncated prayer, but it is indeed part of the process of doing this. If you have been involved in the occult, I have special prayers for that. If you've done seances, Ouija boards, tarot card readings, if you've done it, if you can make something move. When I was that kind of a guy, I had telekinetic powers. I could read people's minds and maneuver people. And manipulate. I could close doors and stupid stuff like that. But the Lord delivered me of all that. Mark chapter 5, at the end it says, I am seated, clothed, and in my right mind. And I weep every time I do that. There's a song by Bob Bennett. He talks about Man of the Tombs. I can't hear that song or sing it without weeping because I'm here. I'm seated. I'm clothed in my right mind. And I shared with Eunice this week I never shared with anybody about some of the things I was called in the psychiatric office. But I'm here. I'm seated. I'm clothed in my right mind. And Jesus did that all. He delivered me from everything. The day of my deliverance, I had several epochs, but one of them was very dramatic and make a good movie. But you know what? I don't tell people about it because it's to honor Jesus, not me. So I want you to be real mindful of this. I'm pausing so you get a chance to think about those prayers. If you have the notes, they're there for you to read. I want us to go through this as a group, and you may remain seated if you'd like, but I want us to pray these and just begin your journey of freedom today. If you are addicted or connected or controlled by something, that this is the day you begin your freedom. So if you'd like to join me out loud, you can pray it quietly. I'll be praying out loud, and I'll pause at the blank. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, by the shed blood of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and through his power, I confess I am being controlled by. I confess that I want nothing more to do with it. By your shed blood, I ask you to remove what is controlling me in this area of my life. I yield to your full control of this area of my life. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for freeing me. Amen. Heavenly Father, I know this could be a very dangerous thing, that we could be handing a power tool to a baby, but I know, Father, by faith, these people here that prayed this sincerely are being freed by your promise. Father, your Son is the truth, and the truth will set us free, and he is setting them free. And we thank you, Father, for this transforming work, this sanctifying work of being made whole, of being set free. We know in the heavenly realms we are seated at your right hand and that we are already experiencing that freedom, but here on planet Earth we're going through that process to allow people to see the glories of your resurrection. And so, Father, I pray and hope that you will allow us that privilege to see transformed lives in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Thank you.